Let us pray. Spirit of mercy, though you are infinite, you come to us, embodied, near, and intimate. We thank you for the presence of Jesus. He is a mystery to us, and yet we love him. Open our hearts so we may behold him among us, teaching, healing, loving, setting us free. We pray in the grace and power of your Spirit. Amen. A reading from Proverbs. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being foolish? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate learning? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 8th chapter. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and along the way he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They said, "Oh, John the Baptist, or some say Elijah, or maybe one of the prophets." And then Jesus said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them never to say that about him to anybody. And then he began to teach them. The new human must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised again. He said this quite openly. Well, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus, turning and seeing the disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking in godly ways, but human ways." And then he gathered the crowd with the disciples and he said, "If anybody wishes to become my follower, let them take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow me. Those who try to save their life will lose it. But those who will lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. After all, what would it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul?" The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. When Jesus asks that question of the disciples, he's basically, I think, thinking about his place in the life of the community. How do I fit in with you folks? When Peter answers the question, Peter is thinking about how Jesus fits in the Jewish story. You're the Messiah. When Mark tells that story, Mark is thinking about how Jesus fits in to Christian theology. When I read that story, Jesus is asking me, how do I fit into your life? When I think about Jesus' question, what does not come to mind for me first is anything about Jesus being the Son of God or the embodiment of the second person of the Trinity or the Christ or any of that theological stuff. What comes to me is who Jesus is to me. Because we all have multiple Jesuses. There is the Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, who did some stuff and said some stuff. There's the Jesus in the Gospels who's different. It includes some of the stuff that Jesus said and did, but then it includes a lot of stuff that the church believes about Jesus that's added into that picture. And then there's also your Jesus, my Jesus, who's different for every single one of us. The Jesus that we can actually have a relationship with. Some people think about Jesus sort of like a fictional character, somebody that they read about in a book. And it might be a completely fictional character like Harry Potter, or it might be a historical person like Abraham Lincoln, but it's mostly somebody that they read something about in a book that represents some certain things to them. But Jesus is asking, can we actually have a relationship? What do I mean to you? How do I fit in your life? And that's different for each one of us. My Jesus, for instance, speaks English. For a lot of people, Jesus doesn't. Historically, Jesus didn't. But that's my Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Here's who Jesus is to me. Here's who I say he is. He's my person. He's my guy. He's the guy that I go to. He's really, literally my best friend. He is a lover. Partly because he's such a teacher. He doesn't teach me by lecturing. He teaches me because I notice what he notices. I just watch him at work. Now, in order for Jesus to be in my life that way, I have to keep reading the Gospels over and over again, keep reading the Bible so that he can be that for me. Otherwise, I'm just making it up. And sometimes he's different than what I thought. He keeps changing. He keeps growing. But he's always teaching me these new things. I watch him work and I think, oh, I want to do that. And Jesus is the one who keeps turning over to me and saying, you can do this. You got it. I know you do. Jesus is like a coach who believes that I can run faster or jump higher than I think I can. Jesus is the one who believes in me when I don't. For me, Jesus is a loving presence, not just a character in the Bible. I don't mean that I sort of see him walking around. I feel Jesus kind of walking from room to room with me. I don't feel that very much. But Jesus is a loving presence. Kind of like my wife Beth isn't always in the same room with me, but she's a huge presence in my life. She's there. And sometimes I'm thinking about her, and sometimes it just seems like she's thinking about me. Jesus is like that for me. Not exactly like an imaginary friend, but close. Because we're so attached to our intellect, our ideas, that we forget that Jesus isn't an idea. And Jesus isn't teaching ideas. Jesus taught no doctrine whatsoever. Jesus is just somebody who's with me. And I let my imagination wide open and let Jesus be present with me in my imagination. And I learn from him. He's my teacher. He's my healer. All the things that seem broken in me, Jesus somehow makes different. All the things that are no good in me, Jesus redeems. And it's not because he has any magic wand. It's mostly because he just keeps on hanging on to me. And the great thing is there are moments when I really do mess up. There are times when I really do, like, break my life. When I've just kind of wrecked myself. There are times when it's not me, it just seems like life has beaten me up. And every single time, it's like there's Jesus holding my life. He's had it in his arms the whole time, protecting it from all that garbage, whether it's from inside me or outside. And right when I feel the most broken, Jesus says, Here. Here's your life. I saved it for you. And I know how much that hurts him. I know how much he has to take. All the stuff that I take and all the stuff that I do and all the stuff I don't even realize. And he just does that because I get the sense that Jesus actually loves me. And I know there are 7.5 billion of us. I think that's some part of how I understand Jesus to occupy that second person of the Trinity. All that cosmic stuff that we're going to read together from the book of Colossians about Christ being the source of all creation. Part of how I can trust that lofty cosmic language is that when this little tiny part of the cosmos seems to have fallen apart, Jesus is the one who every time says, "Here, here's your life. I saved it for you." That's what it means for me, for Jesus to be my Savior. Not that he went off and marched and died on the cross so that God could forgive me, because that's baloney. God already forgives me. Jesus didn't go get himself crucified. We just crucified him. I crucified him. And Jesus is the one who, even hanging there on the cross, says, "I know. I get it. It's all right. I've got your life. I'm saving up for you. And if I dare to open myself up to that, I get saved. I get set free from all sorts of garbage that binds me up and that trips me up. All of my desires and fears and attachments and addictions and crud. There's that presence that just says, "You're okay. You're free. Let's try again." And I can't let go of that. I can't ignore that. I can't box that up into some kind of doctrine or theology. I've got lots of doctrine. I've got lots of theology. It's a description of that stuff. But that's not the stuff. The stuff is this loving presence who keeps saying to me, "Here's your life. I saved it for you. Do this." That is how Jesus is my Lord. We don't really use that word much. To me, it doesn't mean that Jesus is my boss ordering me around. It doesn't mean that I'm under some kind of duress to obey what Jesus wants me to do. It's that there's this exceedingly loving thing going on, and I want to be close to that. And sometimes there's something out there that seems really hurtful or uncomfortable or mysterious. And it's like Jesus is standing right next to me and he smiles and he looks at me. And sometimes he kind of goes, hits me on the shoulder. And then he just turns and steps into that mystery. And because I love him so much, I'll go with him. I'll find myself in an uncomfortable place or willing to endure something that hurts because I want to be in that loving presence doing that loving thing, and I can't say no. That's what it means for Jesus to be my Lord. Not that I'm under orders. It's just that I'm in love and I can't turn a different way. Sometimes when I really want to be close to Jesus, it seems like the very best I can do is to join Simon of Cyrene, the one that the soldiers compelled to help Jesus carry the cross. And I get under that weight with Jesus, and sometimes I can feel the weight and the splinters of all that he endures. And it's a lot. Because every time I see the cross, I see Jesus. Every time I see suffering, I see Jesus. Every time I see the news headlines, Jesus is there. as often as not in an orange jumpsuit, handcuffed, coming out of a rotten, miserable life, heading into more of the same, saying to every single one of those people with him, "Here's life. I saved it for you. Let's do this." Trying to heal, doing his best to teach, setting people free. And I want so much to be a part of that sometimes the best I can do is to get there under the cross with Jesus and help him carry it. And the amazing thing is that he looks over at me as if he's glad to have me there. And I know perfectly well he's carrying all the weight. But I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That's who Jesus is to me. Who do you say Jesus is? How does he fit in your life? Keep reading those scriptures. Keep listening. Keep your imagination and your heart open. Because I'm telling you, he's right there. Right there. And when it gets hardest to see him, it's because he's disappeared inside you. Go find him. Follow him. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that though you are infinite, you come to us in human form with love and courage and joy. Open our hearts and our imaginations so that we might know Jesus. God of grace, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to follow Jesus, to let him bring us to those places where we have to choose, and to choose love, to choose Jesus. God, we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace.